The date is June 12th, 1987, and we're watching Predator. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Dylan to my Dutch.
You son of a bitch. Hello, I'm Colin Stewart.
What, you want it to be Dutch?
Everybody wants to be Dutch. I mean, Carl Weathers is no slouch in this movie, but...
He's pretty ripped, man. I mean, like, he's a beefy dude. Yeah. Well, this week, we have a listener of our show. I mean, now, if you ever listen to our credits, and really, you should listen to our credits. I mean, I feel like people might click off before the end of credits, but I put in post-credit scenes sometimes. So, you know, you gotta listen through that shit. It's different every week. But Colin always mentions, hey, if you're a listener of the show, tell us you want to be on the show. So we have someone that brought us this movie and wanted to be on the show with us. So please welcome back, please welcome for the first time ever, Mr. Luke Bartoszek. Hello, Luke.
Hello. Very excited to be here.
Yes, you are a listener of the show. You enjoy the show. Now, we'll get to your history with Predator in a moment, but I do want to know, are you up to date on all of Predator, like up to Prey and all the Predators? Like, are you a scholar of Predator?
I consider myself a scholar of Predator. I didn't watch the second AVP2.
Okay.
The first one I felt like almost took away from the experience of Predator for me.
Okay.
But the rest of them are, I've seen everyone.
Okay. Outstanding.
Oh, and I haven't seen the most recent one because I heard it was terrible. So
okay. Well, this week we are looking back at June 1987 when the movies in theaters were The Untouchables, La Bamba, The Witches of Eastwick, Episode 77 Subject, Harry and the Henderson, The Predator and Harry. That guy's in two movies at the same time. Michael Peter Hall. Yeah. And of course, our movie for today, Predator, which earned $98.3 million on a $15 million budget.
And as always, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't want to be exploded and have spoilers rain down on you like machine gun bullets from Jesse Ventura's sweet, I don't know what that'd be called, like a Gatling gun, I guess, then please hit pause, go watch the movie, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
Yeah, his little, like, side helicopter cannon that he carries around.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that thing's made for, that minigun. Well, I have four taglines that appear on the poster for this movie. The first one is the long one. Nothing like it has ever been on Earth before. It came for the thrill of the hunt. It picked the wrong man to hunt.
I like it. I don't know that it necessarily, like, fulfills what actually happens in the movie.
Yeah.
That seems like more of a pitch than a tagline.
A little bit. Well, the second one, in this movie, Arnold will experience every meaning of the word pain. Now, for some reason, pain is in quotation marks on this tagline. So maybe it has something to do with, like, pain and gain. Isn't that one of his things?
I mean, I guess.
Pump and Iron was one of his things.
Yeah, Pump and Iron.
Yeah, not pain and gain.
But maybe it's like metaphorical pain. So like there's physical pain, emotional pain.
There's a lot of trauma that he goes through. Yeah, he sees all his friends die. Well, number three, we cannot see it, but it sees the heat of our bodies and the heat of our fear.
I hate that one. That one's awful.
Well, I will say that it makes him even more infuriating for me that for some reason bodies is spelled BODYS. So that was an extra irritation to me on that one. Well, finally, the fourth one, bringing it home strong. If it bleeds, we can kill it.
That's a good one. I wanted it to be stick around.
Stick around. That's a good one. Yeah. But that may not be the best description, so let's go to Colin for our 60-second synopsis. You know, and hey, Luke, man, you know, audio format, don't be afraid to make some noise. Chime in. You're quiet over there. You know, don't be shy, man. Don't be shy.
Don't be so afraid.
Yeah, don't be shy.
All right. Somewhere in the South American jungle, Dutch and his paramilitary rescue team are called in at the request of his old pal Dylan to assist the United States government in retrieving a foreign cabinet minister who's been captured by local guerrillas. That's Guerillas, not G-O-R, like not the monkey.
Outstanding, yes.
Once the team gets on the ground, things get off to a weird start after they first find a downed U.S. helicopter and later find their soldiers hanging in a tree without their skin. When the team finds the guerrilla base, Dutch sees one of the hostages get murdered and decides it's time to unleash hell. When the gunfire and explosions settle, Dutch and his team stand tall, but he realizes the cabinet minister story was a fake and Dylan was just using them to stop a Soviet-backed invasion. Dutch makes plans to evac. Dylan forces him to bring along the only survivor of their attack, a young woman named Anna. On the way back to the choppa, the team is stalked by a mysterious creature that starts taking them out one by one until only Dutch and Anna remain. Dutch manages to distract the creature and leads it away from Anna while she gets to the choppa. After falling into a river and down a waterfall, Dutch washes up on a muddy bank with the creature hot on his tail, only it can't see him because the mud blocks his heat signature. With time to come up with a plan, Dutch decides to avenge his fallen comrades and take the creature on head-to-head, Home Alone style, using the jungle as his weapon. He sets booby traps and calls the beast to him. They fight, and in the end, Dutch emerges victorious as the creature reveals itself to be an alien from another planet. Realizing it's been bested, the alien decides to blow itself up. Dutch manages to figure this out and manages to avoid getting blown up with it. And then he gets to the choppa.
Outstanding. You know, with the Home Alone reference, it makes me just picture the Predator slipping on micro machines or something.
I mean, he should have had him slip on some like pine cones or I don't know what's in a South American jungle that you could
jungle shit.
Jungle stuff.
So back in the day when I had Super Channel, Predator 2 was one of the ones that I watched when I was a little too young for Predator. And that was my entry point into Predator. This was not my first Predator, the second one was. But, you know, I went back, of course, and watched the other Predator. And I am up to date. I have even watched the terrible Alien versus Predators. And I have seen the new Prey. It was okay. I don't know. I watch too many movies with my phone in my hand these days that I have trouble with the subtitles in Prey. Now, Luke, it was you that wanted to watch Predator? If Predator ever comes up, you know, you are a friend of Colin. So what is it that brought you onto our Predator episode specifically?
Well, I think Predator is one of my films I remember most fondly from my childhood. Rewatching it again, I probably hadn't seen it for maybe 10 years, but I was sort of transported right back to the first time I saw it, which was, and I may be misremembering because it was so long ago, but when I was about 12 or 13 years old, okay, over at my buddy John's house, his parents had quite a good TV setup, and his older brother, who we all thought was the coolest guy ever, had it on VHS. And I found myself at moments transported right back to sitting there cross-legged in front of the TV with my best friend watching it. It's incredibly nostalgic. And I found that as I was watching it, like I was getting goosebumps at the same, you know, various points, like little flashbacks. Yeah. And this film influenced me much more than I probably should admit on a podcast. I remember after watching it, of course, I was just about starting to shave back then and thinking that Mac dry shaving, I thought this was like a really manly, cool thing to do. and
Well,
tried
he's
it and
very
really
sweaty shaving. I
yeah.
mean, he does have some sort of lubrication going on there.
Right. I didn't benefit from the jungle humidity, unfortunately, and it really like messed up my skin. But it was I mean, it was such a I think probably both consciously and unconsciously that film has been a huge influence on me.
You
So
know, it's funny. I always credit the Simpsons for teaching me how to shave, because there's the episode where Homer thinks he's going to die and he decides to teach Bart how to shave and has the toilet paper. That's how I finally knew what that is in movies on people's faces. I'm like, oh, and hot damn if it doesn't work. I mean, that's a nifty little trick. Now, in the grand scheme of Predator movies that you have seen, this one is the top one out of them?
absolutely. I don't think the I mean, Prey is probably, I have seen Prey is probably a second on the list. I've almost feel bad for you starting with the second one because it's so inferior to the first. It really failed on so many levels. You could sort of see the pitch that they were coming from, but it just
Concrete
totally failed to
jungle.
deliver,
Yeah.
yeah, on every
Yeah.
level. Yeah, no, this one's absolutely my favorite. And also it's my favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. For me, this is
Yeah.
like peak Arnie. You know, he's absolutely in the best shape I can remember seeing him in any movie. To me, it's the best acting he does. Like there's some actual acting that happens in it. He looks genuinely scared at times and emotional at others. And dare I say it, like he's at sort of his most handsome too. He has a little bit of red in his hair, and he looks like fit as well as strong and
I don't know.
super
We recently
charismatic.
watched blue-faced, bald Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's pretty charismatic. Good old Mr.
Yeah, I
Freeze.
mean, we also watch Jingle All the Way, which I mean,
And Kindergarten Cop.
and Kindergarten Cop. I think, as I remember it, the idea to have Luke come for Predator was he sent me basically like a novel after Terminator
Okay. Yeah.
about all the things that we missed, and I was like, oh, this guy, he has like a seemingly ice encyclopedic knowledge of like 80s action
Like, okay,
movies.
bring it, buddy.
Yeah, I hope I don't let you down. I've got a lot of factoids from you. I've watched so many documentaries over the year. I can't source some of the things I'm going to try and share with you, but I hope most of them are true and well founded. But
Yeah,
yeah, I mean,
our ours are well researched as well. You know, we go to the deepest, darkest depths of the internet to find our information, so
brief skim of Wikipedia.
IMDb trivia, yeah, all that stuff. All the 100% accurate places.
And don't get me wrong, like I'm a big fan of the show, but I don't know if Collins relayed to you that I on occasion have called him up just in a rage about halfway through one of your podcasts to relay my feelings, or a couple of days later when I finally managed to get a hold of him to yell at him on the
Oh
phone for
yeah.
20 minutes for things that left out or
Yeah.
opinions that I thought were baseless. So
Yeah, I've got the one
yeah, you I
messenger.
remember he was very, very upset about my lack of appreciation for Risky Business.
Oh dear. Neither of us like that one very much. So, well, now, Colin, what is your history with Predator?
So for me, Predator was kind of a thing. Like, I'm much younger than both of you, but it was kind of a thing I knew of, but like I was too young to have watched Predator. Like the first Predator would have came out a year after I was born,
Yeah.
so I was too young to have really watched any of the early Predators. The first one I actually watched was Alien vs. Predator,
Oh.
the very first one, and I thought it was awesome. But then, yeah, Alien vs. Predator Requiem was a giant piece of shit, and so that kind of turned me off. But then I did go back and I watched the first Predator. I couldn't make it through Predator 2. Just, I don't know, Danny Glover does not have the same cachet as Schwarzenegger.
Not quite as
And then,
intimidating.
what are the other ones? I think I remember liking Predators. That's the one with Adrian Brody, right? Where they're like,
I think so. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right.
And that's the one directed by Shane Black, who plays Hawkins in this movie.
And then I haven't seen The Predator, but I watched Prey, and I thought Prey was awesome as a movie, and I thought it was just also kind of a cool, I don't know, like subversive of the whole Predator like mythos, basically.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, right on. Let's jump into Predator. It's directed by John McTiernan, produced by John Davis, Lawrence Gordon, and Joel Silver, and written by Jim and John Thomas, who have nearly identical IMDb's. It's Wild Wild West is one of their big movies that they did outside of this. The script was inspired by a joke about, the only person that hasn't fought Rocky is E.T. And so they heard that joke from someone, I forget who, and there you go, the Predator is born. It's Rocky versus E.T.
That's a lesson to all aspiring screenwriters that, basically you can just mash up things or just think about the most ridiculous thing and make it a story, and then you might have a multi-million dollar franchise on your hands.
That's right. Absolutely. And I guess there was the original script had like an indigenous lead is what it was supposed to be, but that character ended up changing into Billy. But that's what it was supposed to be. So like they were going to make Prey back in 1987, maybe. It was probably still going to be actually modern time army, wasn't it?
Well, the one thing I read was that they had Van Damme was going to be the
Predator.
Was going to be the Predator.
Yeah, and just like how Eric Stoltz was fired from Back to the Future, but like a couple of his scenes have still slipped their way into the final edit. Yeah, one of Van Damme's film scenes is in this movie because he did work 2 days on the movie.
Oh.
To do the Predator effect, they had to wear like a red suit. Because it was what clashed most with the green in the background. It was like reverse green screen technology. And so one of the scenes where he has done this red suit and he's all, invisible, one of those shots is still Van Damme.
Okay.
Some totally worth you going on YouTube and seeing the original suit that they used. It looked almost comical. It was completely different. They had to stop production halfway through to change out the suit because it just wasn't working. And it's bright red, and it almost looks like a sort of more Teletubby-ish it's all got very soft features. It's definitely worth looking up.
Not even like one of those spandex ones with the hoods that you see.
No, it was the original thing they tried to model the Predator on was a praying mantis. And so it looks much closer to a praying mantis. It's got like Quid's legs and large bent forward arms at the front and like a sort of a face like a bug, but bright red and sort of made of us like a, during for the filming, like a soft, like fluffy material.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like the description, aside from it being a red, it sounds like more like kind of like a xenomorph, like from Alien, like. They wanted to go that kind of route originally.
Well, I'm sure you both know this, but the director was friends with James Cameron, and it was actually him that said on a plane ride with John McTiernan that he wanted to see a movie monster that had mandibles, and so that was written into as a result of that conversation. Yeah, but Predator came out. The Aliens movie came out the year before, and I think there's definitely some influence there.
Everything he touches turns to gold. Fucking James Cameron, man.
Is there, like, I mean, obviously, like, Alien and Predator, they combine in the 2000s, but were they ever linked prior to that?
Well, they were
like,
in
is that just the
they were
forced
in a,
thing?
A comic series first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, they're, yeah, the, I'm pretty sure the comic series predates the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know anything more outside of that.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a Predator comic. I know that the Commandos were based, the outfits that they were wearing was based on a comic series. And you actually see one of the characters reading that comic series on the helicopter ride on the way in.
Oh, okay.
So, but I don't think there was a Predator comic.
Okay. I was going to say that the Commandos, they are more G.I. Joe than the G.I. Joes in the G.I. Joe movies that I've seen. That's like, that's what they remind me of.
Yeah.
And I like, you don't really see it that much anymore, but a thing I feel like was prevalent in the 80s was I like these teams where everybody has their like stated role. Like you have the big sergeant, you have the like the massive grunt with his
Big
huge
gun.
gun. You
Yeah.
have the
The
lanky communications person,
you have
and
the
then you
guy that
always
goes
have some sort
crazy.
of yeah, you always have the you have the crazy guy, and then you always have some sort of indigenous like I don't know like super like spiritual soldier.
Yeah, someone that's one with nature and all that. A master tracker.
Yeah,
Yeah.
tracker would be the good way to put it, the Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly. I like that the movie does open with just the spaceship flying to Earth, and you know immediately what's happening. You know right off the bat that it's going to be alien when you finally do encounter it. But that's all the story you need. You're right into this action movie. You cut right to all the big, huge guys flying on the helicopter.
Yeah, I realized that in this movie, I don't really remember the first probably hour and 20 minutes of it. Like, completely forgot about the whole thing where they were going to save the cabinet minister and all that. I pretty much only, in my mind, the movie is an hour and a half of Arnie and the Predator facing off.
Yeah, like it. I was even surprised that like some of the guys lived as long as they did. It's like, oh yeah, that guy made it pretty far. I forgot about that. Right, like I felt the same way that it was more of just Arnie and the Predator. So I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a quite a short part of the movie. I think that their flight is only 10 minutes too.
Yeah. The Predator has 8 minutes of screen time in this movie.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Like how little you actually see the creature
Yeah.
was crazy to me.
Yeah, most of that final battle is him setting shit up. The montage of him making his booby traps.
I think that's one of the most enjoyable parts of the movie too, is that it doesn't reveal itself too early. There's a sort of very slow build, and then when the monster does appear, it really delivers. It was one of the most terrifying monsters that I could remember seeing in any movie at that point when I watched it for the first time. It was absolutely terrifying. This, part of the genius of the movie is that like Dutch is like this sort of larger than life, super intimidating, charismatic, large man, biggest muscles, and then when the monster appears, it's a foot taller than him, it's 10 times stronger than him. So you wonder how he's going to get out of that situation. So,
And it's those fucking mandibles. James Cameron, you're a genius. Like that's what it is. Like when the face opens up right at the camera like that. I mean that's the moment right there for sure.
yeah, I've never been a big fan of the Predator's look. I love, like,
Really?
I love the Predator with the mask. Like to me,
Yeah.
that's iconic. But like, I don't know. I hate the mandibles, and I hate that. Like, I hate the unmasked Predator. Like, I think maybe that's why I actually like Alien vs. Predator, because they come in there and they're like stormtroopers and they just keep their masks on for pretty much the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Not a fan.
Huh.
I
Yeah.
couldn't
Go.
disagree. Couldn't disagree more with that, Colin. I think that like that moment when the Predator takes its mask off and it roars and you see the mandibles spread. It's sort of disgusting and horrifying at the same time, and
Yeah.
it's terrifying. It's yeah. As I said, it almost looks like it might try and eat him. It's
Yeah. But
it.
strangely sexual at the same time. I don't understand everything that I'm seeing in this face. It's I don't know. Yeah, I'm with Luke. I disagree 100%. It's no, that it's a cool design.
That's fair. I mean, teach their own.
And with Alien versus Predator, I mean, you have two of the coolest designed monsters together in one movie.
Yeah, I mean, I have to make an admission to you guys. I've never seen Alien. I've only seen Alien vs. Predator when it comes to the. Oh, and I saw that other one that was like the what was the one that's like a prequel to Alien? Prometheus?
Prometheus, yes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I've seen those ones, but I've never seen an Alien movie.
Wow. Ouch. That's incredible. Luke's out of his chair. He's storming around the room. He's pacing back and forth. He can't handle that admission.
I mean, you
I
think you
know,
know
I
a movie
know.
fan, and then he hasn't seen Alien. I mean, it's.
I discover that almost weekly on this show. I mean, now we don't always bring the highest art to this show, but boy, oh boy, some of the ones that I find with him that surprise me.
And sorry, Colin, did you say you hadn't seen Aliens either?
I
None
haven't
of them?
I haven't seen an Alien
Movie
movie.
without Predator in it.
Yeah, like I
Oh,
haven't seen even Alien Covenant. I haven't seen like I haven't seen any of them.
jeez. Wow.
Yes,
Yeah.
sorry, I had to.
Okay.
I felt like I had to come clean here for you
A weight off your shoulders.
That's quite the confession, Colin. I'll be thinking about this for a few days for
Yeah.
now.
So after recently seeing Arnold Schwarzenegger smoking in Batman and Robin as Mr. Freeze, I love that our first shot of him is sucking on the cigar. But apparently, health and safety wouldn't allow him to actually light it on the helicopter, so they had to add the glow of it optically in post-production.
That's funny.
That's interesting. I didn't. Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know that. It is one of the coolest introductions of a character in a movie. You know,
Yeah.
everybody else jumps off the plane, the helicopter, and they're throwing their bags and running off the thing, and he's got his feet up and just casually lights his cigar with a reluctance of a man who's got a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. So.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I actually agree with Luke's. Like, I think this is some of the best acting that Arnold Schwarzenegger has ever done. And that's like not hard to do,
Yeah.
but I think he plays this character so true. And even when he first walks, like, well, I love that scene with the cigar. I love that he just tosses his bag and then follows after it. And then even when he comes and meets Dylan, you know, the little like the flick of
The
the
arm
tie, like,
wrestling,
what's
oh,
this? The arm wrestling
the arm
thing.
wrestling moment in the air where it's like whose arm is bigger?
But it's just like he plays, even the fact that he has that thing about how like they're not assassins,
Yeah.
because I just think like I don't know, the other Arnold Schwarzenegger movie I saw around this time was like Commando, and in that movie, from what I remember, he's basically an assassin. You know, he's just a killing machine, and so I thought that was kind of cool to give this. You're in an action movie, you expect Arnold, and he's going to deliver on being the action hero.
Yeah.
But it's like he has a bit more of like a code of honor, which
Yeah.
I thought was
At
cool.
least he's seen
And lost
Commando.
like so much charisma on this guy. I can't believe it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this is where you kind of get what is going on with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the ladies in Kindergarten Cop. It's like, oh, okay, this is dashing, handsome Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is right around the time that he was getting married.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
production had to actually stop so for him to fly back to America to get married during the filming.
Yeah. Well, this set, it sounds like, was like a whole, like, just a display of machismo behind the scenes, right? Like, because, like, Jesse Ventura teased Arnold Schwarzenegger about the wedding so much that he kept ruining takes and, like, caused Arnold to miss, like, the final preparations for his wedding.
There are so many stories about the behavior of the actors during the filming. I'm sure we'll touch on a few of them, but that with the machismo, apparently they were all trying to outdo each other with their workouts, and some of them
Yeah.
would wake up secretly at 3 o'clock in the morning to work out so that they looked extra pumped for the group workout later in the morning.
Yeah, but Carl Weathers wanted to make it look like it was n just his natural genetics made him look that good, and so he would work out when no one else was around to like get his pump in, but make everybody think that he wasn't doing anything extra.
Yeah, I imagine just daily push-up contests and pull-up contests and all that kind of stuff. The thing I kind of thought is like in that arm wrestling scene, obviously like Arnie's bicep is on full display, like it's massive. But I actually thought throughout the movie he looks fairly small,
He
like
actually did lose weight for it.
compared to Carl Weathers, especially like Jesse Ventura looked massive, but. But
Yeah.
I actually thought towards the end of the movie, when you see Dutch, or not Dutch, when you see Dylan, like when he goes off to kind of find the predator alone, there's like a shot where Carl Weathers like does the full turn, is his his suit's all open and stuff. I was like, man, that guy, like, he looks like he should be Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, no, yeah, he is jacked in this movie.
Yeah, I heard that all the actors got food poisoning, or there was some issue with the water filtration at the hotel that they were staying at, and yeah, throughout the
travelers,
yeah,
they all got the
traveler's bug, and apparently Arnie lost 25 pounds throughout throughout filming, so you're probably right that he is visibly smaller as the movie progresses.
Well, yeah, you talked about things like push-up contests. One of the contests that they did have is Jesse Ventura and Arnold Schwarzenegger had a bet going about who had bigger arms, and Arnold got the costumers in on it to lie to Jesse Ventura and say that he did, so that when they actually measured, you know, like, he's like, yeah, I'll take that bet, and he lost the bet because Arnold's were actually bigger. It's like, really? Yours are an inch bigger? I don't know if I've ever had a contest like that going on.
That's some, like, pumping iron style mind games by Schwarzenegger there.
Right? Like, yeah. I need you in on
this. I wonder if anybody would have bet that those two would eventually become governors.
Right? Yeah. Well, and Sonny Landham, who played Billy, he also ran for governor. He lost, but so there could have been three governors in this movie.
Wow. Like, one of my favorite SNL skits, but I couldn't find it, is when Carl Weathers is on there, and he has a bit where he says he's running for governor, and his qualification is because he was in the movie Predator. And you know, it's really good. I've scoured the internet to try and find it, but it's if somebody can find that, it's really, really worth watching. It's
hey,
very funny.
We've had Happy Gilmore on this show. We know how funny Carl Weathers can be.
I was in Vancouver a couple weekends ago, and I went to the Vancouver Expo, and Carl Weathers was there, and I'm really kicking myself for not going up and being like, hey, can I get an anecdote for this podcast?
Wow, yeah. Yeah, you should have had him do our intro.
Yeah, that would have been sweet.
This is Carl Weathers, and you're listening. Yeah, I don't know. God, you gotta think ahead, Colin. Gotta think ahead.
I know.
So they get brought in to rescue all this diplomat, and so, you know, they're a rescue team, not assassins, and so they get dropped in the jungle. And, you know, we in the helicopter, though, on the way to the jungle, we do get, you know, some nice hard F-bombs from Jesse Ventura, where we're definitely seeing what kind of character he is. He's a 1987 character. That's what kind of character he is. Tobacco and homophobic.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if him spitting on Dylan's shoe was like is he being like non-explicit racist, or is that he just a weird guy?
I think Dylan is a representation of the man.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, because that's the only reason they're doing this, is because one of the people that is under his care is missing.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I think also they just don't want him there. You know, they see him as a liability. He's crowbarred his way into this.
He's been behind a desk, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, he's not as sharp as they are.
But I think that helicopter ride is one of the best introduction, like quick introductions to shortcut introductions to a bunch of characters. You kind of learn a lot about what you need to know about these guys in a very short period of time. You know, Colin says, you kind of have these stereotypes and they're laid out. They're kind of funny. They're listening, you know, they're going into this dangerous mission and they're listening to Long Tall Sally, and you kind of see what roles they play. Yeah, pussy jokes. And you can kind of, you know, immediately what kind of men these are. These are the audience is being told these are manly men. Yeah. And you have that very brief moment too, where Carl Weathers is showing his lighter off, and it's got the insignia that sort of insinuates that he'd fought with Dutch in Vietnam, I think. And so you kind of see the connection there. So he's a soldier too at some point. So
yeah. And you see that, like, when they turn off the boombox all of a sudden, you know, they're ready to take it serious. When they're called upon, they're going to take it serious. All those pussy jokes, by the way, were written by Shane Black himself. he wrote them for himself. Yeah.
I'm sure you read that Shane Black was brought in as a character because he was a writer, and they didn't want him working on scripts. They wanted him in the movie. That was a way to keep him from interfering with the scripts, was to have him in the movie.
Shane Black, did he do Rush Hour or a Rush Hour?
I don't remember. Shoot, now I have to look up Shane
sounds
Black.
Familiar, but
can we fact check during the
oh,
recording?
Oh yeah, yeah.
We wow! I wish I'd, I would.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah. We do shit. Oh yeah, what you hear as a final product is big chunks taken out sometimes.
Oh no, Shane Black did
he
the
did
lethal.
Iron Man 3 and Lethal Weapons. Yeah, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Last Action Hero. Oh, there's another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. So yeah, no, that's the kind of stuff that Shane Black has written. So,
gotcha.
I don't know, and pussy jokes.
No. Pussy jokes.
The Echo one did make me laugh. I'm not gonna lie, I thought that was funny.
Is that the one that finally makes Billy crack?
Yeah.
or is it Poncho that he's trying to make laugh?
I
forget who he's trying to make laugh.
To be honest, I can't keep all their names straight. I think it's the knife guy
the guy that kills the scorpion. I like that moment when he's like, "Hey, look over there," and then stabs the scorpion.
Yeah.
That's Mac who stabs the scorpion, but I think he was trying to make Billy laugh. Okay. Yeah,
yeah. Apparently, scorpions and other venomous things were a big problem while they were filming this movie too.
Yeah, the pool that Arnie was in for the final scenes and stuff was apparently filled with leeches, and that had to be repeatedly dealt with.
Yeah, which is worse, that or traveler's diarrhea?
I don't know that I could or would want to do a shoot in a location like that. Just watching this movie, I was just, they must be so hot and sweaty and just exhausted the entire time. It just looks uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. I was just in Mexico a couple months ago and it was insane. And I can't imagine being down there filming what they were doing. Like the stunt guy that did the going over the waterfall stunt, he ended up dislocating something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like dislocating his knee or something like that.
That was a real scorpion they killed, right?
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like it, but I mean, Stan Winston on the movie, though, you could probably have a good looking scorpion. This isn't Friday the 13th with no budget.
All right.
Yeah, I think that filming in the jungle added so much. You know, it wouldn't be done that way now. You know, you got this sort of claustrophobia and the actors are sweating and they look uncomfortable. And I think that added a tremendous amount to the movie. Yeah. And when I was watching it this time again, it was really noticeable to me, like how the plants and stuff that they're interacting with, they kind of look sort of raggedy and gross. They don't look like they've been pulled out of a greenhouse for the set, you know, mm-hmm. for the green screen background. And on top of that, it was very problematic, but they're filming on steep angles all the time, you know, and again, I think that adds to the claustrophobia and the sort of sense of frustration and difficulty about moving around in that environment when it starts to close in on them.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the part where they mow down all the plants with machine gun fire, where they just shoot for like 2 solid minutes, that's an area of the jungle that was already like burnt down, and so they brought in all the plants so that they weren't actually doing any damage to the forest that was there.
Mm-hmm.
So they found a clearing in the jungle, basically. Yeah.
Did you find watching it this time around that you were sort of looking up into the trees during the long shots to see if you could try and spot the predator? Or I found myself doing that. Yeah,
I feel like I had heard before that if you look hard, like, I don't know if this is just like a prank that I'm falling for, but I heard that if you look at some of those scenes, you can see the predator in the distance, like the little pixelated thing or whatever, but I never noticed it. It must have been too subtle, but
it's like a magic eye poster. You got to cross your eyes just right.
Yeah, I'd heard that too, Colin. I kept pausing it and looking for it, but I don't know if the screen I was watching it on was good enough to see.
Yeah,
I'd also seen a different cut than the one I watched, where you can see the predator walking out when Billy has his standoff with the predator. You can see the predator walking along the underside of the log, and I was disappointed I didn't get to see it on this viewing.
This is one of those movies where I kind of wonder what it would have been like to see it with zero context in the theater. and what that would have felt like. Just because, like, for me, like, I'm watching, I already have, like, kind of an idea of what the Predator is and what it's going to look like when it's finally revealed and that kind of stuff. But even, I mean, I guess you have the spaceship at the beginning, so you know there's some sort of thing alien there. But I was just surprised at, again, at how long it takes to finally have the reveal. And when you're just going back and forth from the heat, like the heat vision, the Predator kind of looking at the land or whatever, at the people, it kind of, I kind of wondered if in the theater, what the, like, if there was like this sense of suspense, basically.
Well, his vision, I gotta say, is would be so difficult to hunt with. Like, he does not have good vision. This guy needs some glasses. Like, his heat vision is so hard to navigate. Everything else is black. Like, you can barely see anything except for the people. Like, it's just, but it, I just, it's so blurry and hard to follow when he is actually doing it. I feel like the heat vision has gotten better in newer movies.
Yeah, I think that, again, being a bit older and not having seen anything, like, I mean, I was lucky, I think, in a sense, when I watched it, that I had no idea what I was about to watch. And so I hadn't really seen an effect like that before. And I thought that even though it was very crude, it was very, you could see what was going on. And I think that almost like, just like the, there were a lot of problems with them trying to use, they tried to use infrared vision. It didn't work. They tried to use FLIR. It didn't work. So they ended up sort of cheating to get that effect. I guess the heat vision wasn't good enough, or the technology wasn't good enough at the time compared to now, obviously, where you can see things very well outlined, or in later movies. But yeah, it was it kind of like the shark in Jaws, view vision. I think that they were trying to use up a bit of time with that. And to me, it sort of added to the suspense and the mystery. Like, you didn't know what was watching them, but something definitely was. And it sort of added to, the only one that's aware of it initially is Billy. He gets a sense that, like, we're being watched, we're being stalked. And he's almost initially reluctant to tell the others, what's on his mind. But the reveal is, it's a great build-up. Like, I'm glad it wasn't accelerated or sped up.
Oh, for sure. The funny thing is, Billy is such a calm character in this movie, and they needed to actually that the insurance company wouldn't insure them unless they got a bodyguard for the guy that played Billy because he had a temper. And so it was to protect the other people on set from him losing their his shit on other people on set. And it's like, really, how badly did you need this guy in the movie? I never understand when movies work with problem actors where it's like why do you put up with this? Why do you need this guy in your movie this badly that you're willing to hire someone so that they'll insure him?
Apparently, he was a complete wild man. And there's stories about massive amounts of drugs being done on set. I heard that he was arrested actually near the end of production. He'd gone into a nightclub and was lying on the floor and had bitten a woman. And that they ended up getting picked up by the cops, were actually in trouble for that. So.
Sorry, you just kind of breezed over that so casually. He bit a woman?
Yeah, he bit a woman's leg. He was lying on the floor and bit a woman's leg. I can't remember exactly what the fallout was, but it was kind of a one of the many stories about his wild behavior and how he would challenge the other actors. They would go out drinking and he'd challenge the other actors to fights. It was a quite common thing. Again, yeah, they had to have a bodyguard to protect him from himself, essentially, because he was such a liability on set.
Okay, so one of your actors is 7 foot 1, three, like one of them is a wrestler, two of them are like bodybuilders, or like Carl Weathers is like ex-military, isn't he? Like, he's gonna pick a fight with any of these guys? Like, he's there to keep like Shane Black safe. That's who he's there to protect. Hawkins.
Well, I mean, man, that guy's—he's an awesome actor then, because I would have never thought he would be such a wild dude, based on the character.
He's the chill one that's always listening to the air. Something's out there, something's watching us. I don't know whether he's trying to play indigenous or whether he's
Oh,
just
I
a
think for
guy.
sure with his medicine pouch and yeah, I and his sort of the accent that he adopts for it, I think, was sort of considered sort of stereotypical at that time for
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so.
the tracker mythos as well, I think, you know. And it's such a cool moment when he reports back when they're first trying to figure out what happened. He tells them that, you know, there was a firefight, men came from one direction, they were wearing army boots, and they left this way. It was awesome. Like it's like a such a cool skill to have.
I don't know that I would continue on if I found three men skinned hanging in a tree. I think I might have to adjust the mission parameters at that point.
I understand they did continue on with the mission, and yes, that's probably where I'd want to pull the plug too. But you know, it was once they completed the mission, it was like, okay, let's go now, right?
Did it make you jump when that Billy finds those bodies being eaten by the birds?
Well, yeah, kind of actually. I wasn't really, like I said, I had completely forgotten about the first half of this movie. And so, yeah, when it came, I was just like, it's so, I didn't remember that happening at all. And I just thought it was they were kind of nasty. And I was trying to figure out I couldn't remember what the Predator's like game plan was. Like, I thought that, from what I remember of Predator, and I don't know if I'm just mixing up movies, but I thought it was very much gonna be like he's coming in and like separating them off and like taking them out one by one. And that didn't really happen. Like I thought it was gonna be more like he was actually hunting them, not just kind of like basically waiting for them or like kind of running into them and just killing them.
Well, he is hunting them though. That is hunting.
I don't know. I
He's stalking them. I mean, you know, it's he's like a billionaire that has human hunting for a part as a party, you know? He's released into this jungle. He's like, I'm gonna take a few out and take some skins back home. Hopefully I'm not over the limit.
Yeah, that was kind of my vibe too. He's on some sort of vacation or some sort of
Yeah, that's
trip to
right.
prove himself, and then
Yeah,
you
it's
know
a
they
big game hunting. Yeah,
normally
he
they
shot
come
himself
by
an
and
elephant.
yeah, normally they come by and grab some men from the village, but this guy is feeling like he's lucked out, like he's found some real challenges, like highly trained special forces guys, and they actually present somewhat of a challenge for him, so he just runs with it. Like that was
Yeah.
the vibe I got. He's gonna be really pleased when he gets those skulls back to his spaceship and tells all his friends about it.
Ooh, finally real competition.
I don't know. For a movie called Predator, there wasn't enough Predator for me, to be honest. Even and again, I think I'm mashing up movies, but doesn't the Predator have that sweet like glow net thing that like disint like that like burns people up and chops them up when he throws it at them?
Well, I think you're thinking Alien versus Predator at this point.
Okay. All
Because
right.
doesn't he use that to explode one of the xenomorphs at one point? Because it starts spraying acid, and then it's got like the checker pattern for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
I
I mean,
think, I don't know.
I guess we have to start somewhere, but
Well, and I mean, that's the thing is when you look at Prey, the fact that Prey takes place hundreds of years before this one, he is a more primitive version of the Predator in that movie, with
yeah.
some of the things that, you know, like he does more like sword fighting in that one. It's not
Yeah,
all
his
about laser guns and exploding people's chests out.
right, his
Yeah.
suit malfunctions more. His mask doesn't looks more sort of crudely fashioned. Yeah.
Yeah. Did they actually end up rescuing any of the captives? No, they didn't. All the
No.
captives died, didn't
All
they?
the hostages were killed. And you know, some
Okay.
people watch that attack on the gorilla base and point to that is actually this movie was meant to be very satirical. And you know, it's such an exaggerated, like the Wilhelm type screams and the massive
Yeah.
explosions and people repeatedly going flying. Yeah, I've heard people sort of say that actually this movie was meant to be sort of a sort of satirical comedy, and that scene's kind of like the most proof of it.
Well, yeah, and I guess now that you say that, things like the mid-air arm wrestling between Arnie and Carl Weathers makes a little more sense even.
Right,
You know, like,
right.
yeah, throw in the stereotypes if that's the movie that you want to make.
Yeah.
I mean, even the fact that it starts off with Arnold like lifting up a truck and launching it, that I don't know, that just seemed like Old West to me, like slap the horses, get them going with the carriage full of dynamite.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't seem the most tactically sound assault on a guerrilla base. Arnie hands his rifle off to one of his comes to, and then Leopard crawls down to, and then sort of makes a plan about, we're gonna make it to the fuel dump, which I don't think he could see or know that there was a fuel dump from the place he was at. And then, yeah, the awesome violence that follows is fantastic.
Yeah, like the thing is about his plan of dropping the truck and just letting it run. Do they actually know where the prisoners are being held? Like, even if there's any that are still alive, maybe he blew one of them up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. And then you get that great line where he throws the knife through the guy and says, "Stick around,"
Stick
when that
around,
stick around.
of course.
He has
Yeah.
back to back. It's stick around, and then it goes immediately to him kicking the door in, knock knock.
Oh, good old
Classic.
Arnie. Get to the chopper.
Yeah, there's so many bits about that assault that are awesome. And like when Jesse Ventura says he's buried in there deeper than Alabama Tick, and the solution is that the guy with grenade launcher just fires a bunch wildly in the air, and these luckily land on the bad guys as opposed to landing on them or anywhere else. It's
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just so much. So many friendly fire casualties, so many explosions, like, oh yeah.
There's a lot going on, a lot going
Great
on there.
scene.
But it's so enjoyable. Like, it's so fun. And, especially as, like, when I was sort of in my early teens or whenever it was I watched it the first time, like, nothing seemed up with that to me. It just all seemed, like, really logical and cool. So.
Yeah. But to Colin's points about, not being a lot of predator in this movie, I mean, it really does go a long time before we actually finally get any kind of reveal of the predator, even. Like, even the invisible, weird mirror thing that they have going on for his cloaking device. We see thermal vision before we see that. And so it's like, it's not until after they've gone through this huge firefight scene that we finally even see him.
Well, I think for me, this is part of the genius of the movie, right? Is that you're introduced to these sort of larger than life, tougher than tough characters, and they're in an environment that they would normally be thriving in. Like, they're exactly where they want to be. These are guys, highly trained commandos, doing their thing in the jungle on their what they think is a rescue mission. And throughout the course of the movie, they sort of become completely terrified. They sort of, or almost sort of breaking down psychologically at the hands of this invisible enemy that they only catch sort of the slightest glimpses of, that's clearly stalking them and taking them out one by one, as you say. We don't get, I think it's actually minute 40, you're 40 minutes into it, as you say, before any of the characters get a really good look at the predator. And that's when Mac completely loses his mind. That's the intro to that huge scene, as you say, where they sort of try and mow down the entire jungle. But it's like a good 40 minutes before that, somebody actually sees a predator, is able to relay to the others kind of what he thinks he saw.
Yeah, because Hawkins is the first to go, but he gets dragged off and you don't get to see his death.
Right. And nobody sees what happens except,
Yeah.
it's like this sort of creeping reality that's sort of catching up with them one by one, these little clues about their fate. And it's after, I can't remember exactly what point it is in the movie, but Billy just says, "I'm afraid, and we're all going to die."
Yeah.
And I'd never, I don't know any other movies from that genre where you have like these super tough guys who just
Yeah,
outright says, "I'm
like
afraid,
I was
and
thinking,
we're all
yeah,
gonna die."
that's
I don't know.
fair.
On the one
Yeah.
hand, like I really like that about the movie. Like, I like that you're taking this group of alpha males, and then it's kind of like you have the predator who like supersedes them all and is putting the fear of God in these guys. Like, even the fact that, like, at the end of the movie, Arnold is basically running for his life, like with Anna. Like, he's there's not I don't know that there's any other movie except maybe like Jingle All the Way where he's like running for his life.
Running Man.
Oh, sure. I haven't seen
Literally.
that. And I think, yeah, if as a viewer, like if you're a young man watching that and you see these guys who seem like so cool and so tough and so strong, like if they're afraid, then you're going to be afraid.
Yeah.
But you do have to make sure that you add the catatonic woman as well. We introduce Anna, the only person that I guess survived from that entire village firefight is this Anna. they take her along with them, but she's all catatonic. So maybe that's what softens them. The presence of a woman who's scared. It's like, okay, she's scared. We can be a little scared too. We can let our defenses down.
Yeah, it'd be almost interesting. Yeah, she definitely has a sort of very relevant part in it. You know, we have that sort of introduction where Dutch says we're not assassins, which gives you some sort of, it sort of signals these guys have some sort of moral compass, right? Mm-hmm. And then later on, they're sort of trying to protect Anna, even though she's a gorilla and, you know, she ends up being the only one who sort of makes it out relatively unscathed.
She's the only one that survives, yeah. Like, in the end, it's her and Arnold.
I guess at the same time, I would also like to see the movie where it's more of a competitive match, I guess, between Arnold's super team and the Predator. Like, almost where it's like, who, like, they're, because I mean, they're also very good at what they do, and I get, like, that works in the movie to kind of, like, add to beef up the Predator, but I would like to see another movie, I guess, maybe this happens in one of the ones I didn't watch, where it's almost like Arnold's, like, what I would have wanted to see in Predator 2 is Arnold and his new team come back and be like, now we're going to hunt the Predator.
I feel like one of them has an aspect where they're dropped off on a planet to go after them.
Well, maybe? I feel like in Predators, it's like they're the humans in that one basically get dropped on the, like, the Predator race's kind of like training hunting ground.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
But they almost do get a one-up on it, though. You know, there's that moment where they set the trap, and the Predator walks into it, and then you think for a moment, like, oh, they've got the upper hand now, but it's able to sort of blast its way out of there so quickly, and then, you know, wreaks havoc and leaves, yeah.
But get it in the net.
What I find interesting is that the only person that notices the blood, and we've already introduced this master tracker in Arnold Schwarzenegger's squad, but it's Anna. She's the only one that notices the actual blood. Like, it's like, how do you not see this master tracker, Billy? Or was he dead at that point? Maybe he was dead already.
No, Billy was the third last of them to survive. So yeah, maybe Billy just missed it or didn't know what he was looking for. Like,
that's true. Yeah.
That blood that was made with KY and glow sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, another thing I really enjoyed from this movie was the sort of mix of the practical effects that I think is so lost in movies, you know, more recently. You know, when the bodies are hung up in the tree, I think that, I feel like that would be done with CGI now, and they look so sort of realistic and eye-catching when they're in the tree. And again, with the Predator blood, is like there seems to be something very almost sort of tangible or tactile about it when it's being touched by Anna or Arnie at points throughout the movie.
Yeah. Now the one where he pulls out the guy's spine, you know, he's up in the tree and he pulls the guy's spine out. He ends up holding it up and it like stays like erect. It's, you know, it's like a boner, right? It stays up there. Is that how a spine would function if it was removed from a body? Like, is it, did you ever have one of those toys where it's like a little snake and when you apply pressure to the tip of its tail, it slithers back and forth, one of those, or, you know, little wooden or plastic toy? Yeah.
I mean,
is that what it's like?
Well, I mean, it kind of would depend. There's going to be the spine, and it's going to be covered in like muscle tissue and like tendon and all that, which would lead me to believe that it's possible that it could stay fairly straight. If I'm not misremembering, is it the skull still attached to it?
Yeah, the skull's still attached too. Yeah.
I thought that was the weird part of that whole thing. Like,
but it looks so cool. Like,
but just, it looks awesome.
You,
yeah.
It looks awesome. Cool. You get the sense of the Predators are so strong, you can just rip out a man's spine and hold it above his head upright.
Yeah. And then, like, later on, he's cleaning his skulls. Like, I like the touch that, like, the one has the bullet hole in the head. And
yeah, I heard that, like, some of the details of, like, the skulls that he has, like, the smaller ones across his chest and stuff like that, were sort of added later to basically, it's a string to try and hold the suit together because it was, like, constantly popping open or falling apart. So they were sort of putting a lot of those details were really just sort of later thoughts to try and keep their suit in one piece during filming.
Yeah, that's why Miss Piggy wears pearls around her neck.
Yeah.
Gotta hide the seams. Yeah. I mean, the Predator, the suit is very cool. I read that it's 200 pounds, though. It's 200 pounds worth of suit.
Yeah, apparently it was incredibly difficult for the actor to film in, and he couldn't see while he was wearing it, and so that's another reason you don't see too much of him like bounding around in the Predator suit. You know, there's that sort of one
Yeah.
scene where he's running away from Arnie over the rocks, but that's really it. Like you don't see him like moving very quickly in the suit apart from that, apart from in the big fight at the end.
Doesn't move as well as he does in Harry and the Hendersons, that's for sure.
I didn't
Well,
understand why Anna didn't think that the Predator was a chupacabra.
no.
It just seems like it's in South America, right? That's like a
It's supposed to be, yeah.
South American legend that like kind of lines up with what she might be seeing going on, although I think chupacabras are more goat killers, but still.
Still don't want to come across one. Well, we just mentioned KY Jelly, so, I got no other way to get into Sponsorship Corner. I'll do a Sponsorship Corner because always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, Predator is brought to you by no one. There are no sponsors that I could see in this movie. So I guess KY Jelly and glow sticks.
Yeah,
That's what it's brought to you by
it was
this week.
shot on a quite a low budget too. I think it was just $15 million was all they had to make the whole movie.
So there we go. Unfortunately, for Luke's first show, being a fan of this show, I don't have a very good sponsorship corner for him. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
I mean, it
Oh.
did, you know, it's a nondescript country to go to, so there's not even plugging in for any tourism. You know, it's just somewhere in South America, and it's not really a good army for advert for the military because they all get killed. So,
Do you have a favorite death in the movie? There were some good ones.
it's a tough one. Like, I think that, you know, all the deaths of the commandos are awesome. Like, I a lot of the sort of action movie types are very sort of stoic and reserved, and you know, the watching Mac sort of completely lose his mind and break down, and then you know, he's so determined to get his revenge for killing his friend in the from the Predator, and he ends up just being sort of shot in the head, like, so
Yeah.
like just dispatched. And although it's not like a
Head
very,
exploded.
yeah, his head exploded, and then but it kind of really signals that, like, you know, these guys are, they should be afraid. Like, they are no match for this entity. I think that Billy's, you know, standing on the log and cutting a big, you know, running the knife down his chest to psych himself up for his final battle with the Predator was one of the coolest things. But that's not a death that you see. You only hear it.
Yeah. Well, apparently with the shaving that Mac does, it was Bill Duke's idea at the last minute to do that. So they scrambled to make him a razor blade that could bleed for him.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's very sort of human in a way, you know, or he becomes very human. Like, he's by far the sort of quietest at the outset,
That's
and
right.
you know, seems like the coolest and toughest for a moment there, where he sticks the scorpion on Carl Weathers' back, and then, you know, by the end of it, he's like talking to himself and just running, dropping all of his gear and running blindly through the jungle to try it. It's such a great character transition.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
And makes him superhuman. And again, as a watcher, you're kind of like, you know, becoming afraid for everybody involved. So, like, if that guy's terrified, we should all be. I guess they all die in quite sort of dramatically different ways too. There's no recycling of it like in other action movies where people
That's
are just
true,
killed
yeah.
or shot, you know. And Carl Weathers, you know, has this sort of moment or his attempt at redemption for bringing them all there.
He gets his arm cut off, his incredibly jacked arm cut off.
Yeah. I'm sure you've seen in stills, you can see his arm underneath that, like poking out from the bottom.
Maybe that's why they did that in Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Maybe they were making fun of the fact that that could be why they chose such a terrible hook hand for him. I don't know. I really like the chest exploding one. That's one that for some reason always sticks out to me in this movie.
Yeah, the Jesse Ventura death is so unexpected when it happens. It's very sudden and very gory. And, you know, he also appears to be the toughest, or the most jacked and sort of toughest of them. And he's the first to be taken out. It's a cool death for sure.
Yeah.
Nah.
Nah, okay.
My favorite death is the scorpion, for sure.
The scorpion getting stabbed?
Followed by Dylan. But again, it's more just because every time I watched that scene, I was just super impressed with Carl Weathers' body.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's huge. Yeah.
Are we marching towards the end?
I think so.
Okay, then my question is, do you like the Predator's laugh at the end? I find that takes me out of it a little bit. Yeah, I like when he repeats the who the hell are you, but I don't like how obviously like human the laugh is, and yeah. I didn't really know what to make of it.
Well, he's copying what he has heard them do. He's mimicking them.
So he's like, is he mimicking like Billy's laugh from before? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's one of those things that makes it extra haunting too.
Gotcha.
I've heard some discussion about that. What the hell are you? When he says that line to him, is kind of like on, you know, that those commandos are kind of like sort of predators in their own way. You know, when they attack the gorillas, there's nothing that they can do about that. You know, it's a kind of a sort of similar situation, but sort of scaled up. When they're being hunted by the predator, he's more technologically advanced, and there's nothing that they can do about that. So I think that's kind of a fun sort of callback to, he says, you know, when he asks him, what the hell are you, he's sort of signaling the same thing back to him. I'm like you, like I'm a killer as well. So
yeah, have you ever heard of the murder parrot? There's this parrot that was in the room when a husband killed his wife, and or no sorry a wife killed her husband. And but this parrot will repeat his last words, like, what are you doing, put down the knife. And, like, I mean, parrots live fucking forever. So this bird, like, for the rest of time, in his voice, will repeat what he says. So I think that's the eeriness that we're going for with this predator laughing at him at the end, is, ah, ha, 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 I'm also laughing at you in Billy's voice.
I guess one question that or perhaps one flaw in the movie is, so Anna is a gorilla, and rebel, and she runs to the helicopter covered in, you know, the blood of the guys that were sent in there. How do you think that conversation went with the helicopter pilot to be able to talk her way onto the helicopter there?
Yeah, that's an interesting conversation for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, like, what? I mean, I guess she would go to the helicopter because it's presumably a safe spot. But it's like Dylan was the only person who wanted her, and he's clearly dead at that point, so she's kind of like free.
Yeah, she's already escaped like three times. Why is she stopped trying to escape?
Like, if she knows that the predator is going after Dutch, or can at least assume that's what's happening, because I don't know, she must have clued in by that point that because she hasn't touched a weapon that it's not going after her. So why wouldn't she just like not go to the chopper and go to like go home basically, or go to her village or whatever?
The village has been destroyed. We just saw that scene.
But that's not the village. That's like their little base. I'm assuming that they have I'm assuming that there's like a town or somewhere like.
Oh, she doesn't live there. Okay.
People should go to.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Yeah. But, I mean, now that she has seen what is really following her, I guess it's like, no, this still seems safer.
But it's also like, what is the plan when she gets off the chopper? Like, where's, like, who, like, who's her handler at this point? Like, who even knows who she is? Like, I don't feel like Dutch doesn't care. Like, he does. He's clearly, like, not on board with whatever they're doing. So it'd be interesting to know, like, what the continuation of that story is.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's who should have been in Predator 2, was her. She wants her revenge, not Dutch.
And just so I'm not just singing the phrases of the movie, like one of the things that I found kind of a little bit cringy or almost a bit cheesy that on the watching it so later on was the exposition of Dutch. Like, you know, like he says these cheesy things, but like, you know, when he gets covered in the mud, he can't, you know, he has to sort of go like, oh, I couldn't, he couldn't see me, or you know, when he hits the predator with the big log and he goes like, oh, bad idea. It was really sort of unnecessary to have that in the movie, I felt like, but it was kind of funny. But
After having so little to say in a movie like Terminator, he's like, no, I'm going to put in a line anytime I can. Stick around.
you're one ugly motherfucker.
The Mythbusters busted the mud thing, though, because the human body will warm mud up, so it wouldn't work for very long. It works very temporarily.
Yeah, I watched another video on YouTube where they kind of showed that it could work, but it would be to do with like raising the temperature from the fire in the ground, right? So the heat, those I guess those heat cameras, they kind of have to, they show a range, and so if one thing is like crazy hot, it'll be difficult for it to visualize like things that aren't as warm nearby. So the one that the video I watched kind of suggested it might work after he set the fire in the woods, which was another odd thing. You know, if the creature sees heat, surely light, and you think you know that, surely lighting a fire to prep your plan would have been the worst possible plan to
Oh, absolutely.
not be detected while you're trying to make your traps and stuff or
Yeah, they're
construct your bow.
even the idea that these guys or him later on alone are setting these traps, you don't quite know where this predator is. Like, he could be watching you set every trap and know how to get around it. I
Right.
mean, and with the thermal vision, I've always wondered why his eyes don't glow red in this sea of blue. You know, like, shouldn't his eyes be giving off heat? Shouldn't the blood dripping out of his mouth be giving off enough heat to have enough to make him the predator look twice at least?
I did think about that, but they at least, when they show his heat vision throughout the movie, show that the eyes aren't giving off heat. So, in the logic of the movie, I was satisfied.
Fair enough. Yeah, but the final fight, I love how there's absolutely no words needed, but it's clear that the predator is saying it's on.
Yeah.
The predator is like an angry woman taking off her clip-on earrings and rolling up her, oh, it's on now, bitch. You know, that's what the predator's saying there.
I mean, aside from hating its ugly face, as I said before, I do enjoy in each Predator movie when it gets to that point where the Predator is just like, enough is enough. Like, I'm taking my technology off and we're just gonna handle this like men.
Yeah, that's right. Mano y mano.
Does this movie lead into Predator 2 in any way?
No.
Or are they completely unrelated
Completely
other than the
unrelated.
Predators, obviously?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Predator 2 is it's Predator in the concrete jungle. So that's all it happens to be is he's on the hunt, except now it's in the city. He's Jason Takes Manhattan, you know.
That's an unfortunate drawback, I think, of. I would have liked to see, like, again, I would have liked to see Arnold get one more stab at the Predator.
Yeah. Well, I'm like his physicality really has nothing to do with him defeating the Predator in the end. Like, ultimately, the fact that he's this big doesn't really matter because he does outsmart him, but there is also a lot of just dumb luck. Like him escaping down those waterfalls, it's just dumb luck that he managed to fall into those pools of water and then, you know, crawl up through mud. Like, that's all that saved him. So
yeah,
it's not actually, he doesn't actually beat him to death or anything like that. So that's why I can get behind Danny Glover as well, as being someone that could defeat the Predator, because they're obviously just outsmarting him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, a franchise with Arnold Schwarzenegger is always good. So I can still get behind that idea.
Yeah, I think if you're going to beat another, you know, pretty much undefeatable enemy, there's going to have to be some luck involved, you know, like, yeah.
That's true. Very much. Yeah. And luckily, he can figure out that that is a countdown timer. I mean, I guess it's pretty obvious that it's a countdown timer. We all know it's a countdown timer mm-hmm. on his arm.
Yeah,
he sets his little nuke thing.
There's a couple of things that, you know, may or may not be obvious. Like, you know, it's not necessarily apparent that the mud is the reason he didn't see him, if you know what I mean, or that that would work outside of the riverbank, but he sort of decides that that would happen. And also, when he kicks the gun away from Anna and says, like, oh, it's for sport, like, he won't kill you for sport. I'm not sure how he would be too sure about that. That seems like a pretty lucky guess that, you know, the Predator isn't going to kill her anyway, or, you know, just take them all out. So.
Yeah, very much.
Well, hey, I'm just noticing. Did you, and you're at the top of it, was one of your taglines, soon the hunt will begin?
No.
Oh. But, I'm just, there's the poster that they have on Wikipedia has that one.
But is it Predator or the Predator?
Predator.
Oh. Oh. Well, then we have five taglines this week.
There you go. Glad to have contributed.
Well, it's Colin, were you old enough to watch the Transformers cartoon? Did you watch that when you were growing up?
No, I watched Beast Wars Transformers, which is why I'm super psyched for the new movie that's coming out.
How about you, Sean? Did you watch?
Yeah, sure did. Yeah.
Did you recognize the voice that the Predator had?
Oh well, I know it's Peter.
Yeah,
Cullen.
it's Optimus Prime. Yeah.
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 It's kind of funny, like, that. What, it's Peter Cullen? Or what's
yeah,
his name?
It's Peter Cullen. You might also be thinking Frank Welker. Is the other one.
Yeah, those guys, both of them, like, when you look them up on IMDb, I swear they have to have the most credits of anyone.
Yeah, they have
like
thousands.
The thousands.
Yeah.
Of yeah, just and random animal noises.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because, like, all the clicking was done by Peter Cullen as well. So, yeah, you just got people that can do mouth sounds. That's half the time they come in and do some beeps and squeaks and stuff like that. But in the end, this movie, we end up getting the jungle nuked, and Anna and Dutch are in the helicopter, and it flies off into the sunset. The end. And then we get like the cheesy closing credits that look like it's from an 80s sitcom, where everybody's like nice and high spirits, you know, except for Arnie, who like turns and he looks stunned with his turn. He looks surprised with his, but everyone else looks like the opening to some sitcom, The Predator Family or something. And that is Predator. Oh boy. Now, Colin, Luke, on IMDb, it scored 7.8 out of 10. And has a Metascore of 47. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 80% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 87%. But Colin, those are just numbers. Like Mac's head exploding all over the camera, hit us with some reviews.
Okay. An unnamed Rotten Tomatoes super reviewer gives the movie 4 out of 5 stars and says, "The opening scene of Predator is just one of many classic shots as a bucket full of testosterone and steroids piles out of the helicopter, including Carl Weathers, Jesse Ventura, and of course Arnold and more. I was surprised that the length is only 1 hour and 45 minutes. My recollection, confirmed on this rewatch, is that it feels way too long. That is basically due to the fact that the first 45 minutes, as they trudge endlessly through the rainforest and take out a rebel village, adds nothing to the story. But once the Predator shows up and starts taking people out, the action and entertainment is phenomenal. The Predator is the best alien design since, well, Alien. I think that's why the Predator concept spawns so many movies, comics, alien crossovers, and more. What's odd to me is nearly every single follow-on movie is utterly forgettable. I'm cool with that. I still like one-hit wonders."
Okay. So the one-hit wonders, so they don't think any of the other Predator movies are canon, basically. Like they,
well, I think they're just
it ends at one.
I just think they're just saying that this was the only good one. Neil W. gives the movie 4 out of 5 stars and says, this is one of those rare films that comes across equally well 35 years later because it has an almost timeless quality about it because of its setting. I don't want to give away any spoilers at all. We already have. Remote, though, the chances are of anybody reading this who has not yet seen the film already, but hey, it's a great film and deserves no spoilers. Highly recommended.
Okay.
Casnian gives the movie 3.5 out of 5 stars and says, this is another iconic movie that I never saw before. Well, I had a wonderful time with this movie. It isn't really my kind of style of filmmaking, explosions, etc. The VFX are a bit outdated in some scenes, but the heat waves still hold up pretty well. The Predator himself is just pure entertainment at the highest level, brutal murders, tension, and a pretty creepy laugh. The score is just fantastic. The build-up to the jungle is really well done. The ending drags a bit for me personally, but that's just my personal taste. Overall, had a pretty great time, but maybe not my kind of genre.
Well, it's, you know, it is a manly movie for manly people, so that person's just not manly enough.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because LOL for LOL gives the movie 5 out of 5 stars and says, even though I'm not a man, I felt like I was a macho man myself fighting in the dense forest of Cambodia. That was how exhilarating this action movie was, LOL. And need we mention it's an Arnie star, the ultimate I'll be back action king? No one could have been better Dutch than Schwarzenegger, our beloved Terminator himself. The language was full of lewdness and obscenity, though. Predator punished them all for that, let's say. Regardless, there was never a moment, not even a second of dullness, as I felt with its sequel. Here's to Dutch and his fallen mates.
He's so much more than the I'll be back man. I mean, he's the kill me now, and get to the chopper. Apparently, get to the chopper is Arnold's all-time favorite quote of his. Yeah.
I think this next one is from, like, I don't know, Jesus Watch or something like that. Gabe Krepps gives the movie 5 out of 5 stars and says, great movie, 2 unnecessary sex jokes, but other than that, it's good. Although the special effects are pretty cheesy for today's standards, it still can be scary for kids 9 and under. I say kids 10 and up should watch this if it's one of Arnold's best movies, and I love Jesse Ventura's Blaine, super funny. Does say the F word a couple times, mostly from Blaine, and if a 10-year-old is going to watch it, then they should have some parental advice on it.
Yeah. Yeah, he uses the F word a couple times and says goddamn Chinaman at one point too, which I don't think is all that accurate. And this man was a governor of a U.S. state.
Yeah, no way that would, if he was running for governor now, people would have just been like, just watch this scene and then canceled, you're done.
Yeah, he's canceled, yeah.
Last one, Dylan Wadouge gives the movie 5 out of 5 stars and says, most badass men on earth pitted against ultimate hunter. It'll be hard to find someone who has not seen The Predator 1. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers, Sonny Langham, late great Kevin Peter Hall plays as Predator. A movie ride like any other. Even after 35 years, nothing has come close, let alone top it. It has the best action, best lines, best scenes, easily one of the very best, and masterpiece brought that Predator movie to the world. From the movie, if it bleeds, we can kill it. Major Dutch. There you go.
Right on. Right on. Well, yeah, like I said, 78 and 87 from audiences, 80 and 47 from critics. Man, Metascore, that's just so out of whack compared to everything else. Yeah, it's still a lot of fun. I mean, it's the original. I understand what Colin's saying about wanting more Predator in a Predator movie, but I also agree with what Luke says, is that, you know, the fact that it's the reveal is worth it when you hold off on it so much longer. It's the Jaws mentality. So on this viewing, Luke, what did you think of Predator?
I absolutely loved it. Like, I was so glad that to watch it again. I got, you know, I was transported right back to, you know, my watching it as a kid. There were memories triggered as I was watching it. I'd long forgotten, like the howler monkeys and that sense of claustrophobia, getting goosebumps at various points in the movie. I think it's a masterpiece. And, you know, that's reflected in the huge return it got at the box office and the movies that were spawned after the fact. In terms of it lasting, I agree with some of the reviews there. It's kind of timeless. Like, the formula is pretty simple. And the acting still kind of holds up. The use of practical special effects means that, you know, not much is lost or degraded over time, like with some movies. So, yeah, I really, really enjoyed watching it again. I think it's almost like a perfect 80s action movie.
Yeah. And it's two different movies in one, which is also kind of fun because it's a Rambo movie, but it is also an Alien movie. But like you said, the practical effects, I mean, you know, mowing down a jungle with machine guns, I'm always on board for that. And with you mentioning earlier that it's almost satirical, you can kind of look at that and go, okay, no, they really are just cranking it up as high as they can. They're cranking it to 11 just to see what happens and have some fun with it.
Absolutely. And it's not a film that takes itself remotely seriously too either, I think. You know, there's the Wilhelm screams and the sort of A-Team style explosions and you know, that ending, as you say, with the sort of super cheesy ending at the, you know, it's they're having fun. Like, they must have, you know, it doesn't take itself too seriously, and I enjoy that too.
So, Colin, what about you? What did you think of Predator on this viewing?
No, I'm just kidding. I liked it. I think for me, it's not a movie that holds a lot of nostalgia because I watched it so late in the game. But I think in talking to you guys, like, I do appreciate a lot of the practicalness of it. I think, again, like I said before, the only I want more Predator. That's the only thing I want. Like, I want to see more, like, now that you mentioned how, you know, heavy the suit was, and what I actually was like, I want more Predator, but I want, like, the more mobile killing machine that you get to see in later movies when they're less practical, obviously. They're more CGI based and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But just make sure you keep that fucking mask on because I don't want to look at
Yeah,
your
and
ugly
also make sure
face.
you keep the sweet mask on. We don't want to see that nasty face, you ugly motherfucker. But yeah, I think that would be my only thing.
Did you find any of it scary, Colin? Did you get chills in any of it or jumps?
Not really, but I think, I don't know, I find it hard. I don't know that I ever, like, got immersed in this movie when I watched it. Maybe it was because I was watching it, like, the middle of the day and my daughter was around and I was trying to, like, just focus and that kind of stuff, and like and that kind of stuff. But I think of it more.
Colin has gotten so sick of Paw Patrol in his house that he's like,
Yeah.
fuck it. My daughter can watch Predator now.
Yeah, now that I say that out loud, I don't know if that was the best. I should go ask her. Was she scared? Is that why you haven't been able to sleep for the last 2 nights? But yeah, I think. I guess I've never really thought of this movie as being, like, from what I hear. Again, haven't watched it, but from what I hear about Alien, is that Alien kind of teeters on the like horror spectrum, like horror sci-fi, whereas with
The
Predator, I
first
kind of
one.
okay. With Predator, I've never really, like, thought of that. I've always just thought of it more as like an action movie, I guess.
Yeah, no, like the first Alien is, you know, a basically a creature slasher movie in a spaceship that's stranded. That's, you know, so it's a contained environment and it's this one creature stalking them throughout the spaceship. So that's what the first one is. And then the second one, James Cameron takes over and we have Marines coming in with machine guns, you know, basically like this. Yeah. They jump to Predator in the second Alien movie. That's what they did.
Gotcha.
And I guess a question for both of you would be, if you hadn't seen the Predator, I mean, it may be difficult to sort of put yourself in that mindset, but, like, if you hadn't seen the Predator prior to the movie, do you think you would have found it scary or horrifying? But I mean, like, you've probably seen it in The Simpsons and stuff like that, you know, like cartoonized, or you start with the second
Yeah.
one where there's a lot more sort of Predator time and stuff.
I was gonna say, like, for me, and I think the reason why I like the masks so much is because I remember seeing the Predator first as, like, toys, like, completely without context, and be like, oh man, that thing looks cool. and I didn't even realize he was the bad guy. Like, I thought of the Predator was like a superhero before I watched, and then I watched the movie and was like, oh no, he's like, he's the quote unquote bad, like the bad monster guy. Mm-hmm. But like, when you just see him with no context with those sweet cybernetic masks, it looks like Star Wars, like Boba Fett or something like that is okay. Kind of like the mindset that I had conceived of as Predator before I found out what it actually was.
Yeah. I mean, like you, Luke, I can take myself back to the mindset of the first time seeing the Predator. And yeah, it is shocking when he roars into the camera. So I can definitely agree that, yes, he has definitely one ugly motherfucker, but yeah. Also there is definitely a scare factor to that design, and it's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Iconic.
Well, there we go. That is Predator, and that's our show for this week. Oh boy, a huge thank you to our special guest, Luke Bartoszek. Luke, thanks so much for joining us here. Thanks for bringing us Predator.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so glad we did this. It was a lot of fun.
I feel like I should give Luke the opportunity to like air any grievances he's had with me over the past few months listening to it.
I think some of the things that just better dealt with a one-to-one phone call in. I don't have my binder with me to go through for those. Right. So,
all right, I'll let you get your
detailed
yeah.
notes.
Yeah,
he's gonna give me like a performance review at the end of the year.
If you like that show, one thing you can do to really help us out on the business end is, well, just tell people and subscribe to our show or follow our show or whatever the words are that kids use for those things, or go to whatever app it is you listen to your podcast on and give us some stars and help drive us up the charts with algorithms and science and all that sort of stuff. It doesn't really matter what you say, but you know, a little review goes a long way for helping a podcast find an audience. Or if you want to go one step further and become a producer of the show, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and you become part of our Patreon community, and you get a shout out on the show, just like executive producer Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
As always, check out our website, IUsedToLikeThisOne.com. There you can find links to all our podcast episodes as well as our social media pages, and drop us a line at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com, and then you can be just like my good friend Luke here and join us on the podcast and maybe talk about a movie that you used to like.
We're both stumbling with credits tonight. Holy shit. After I told everybody to listen to the credits right off the top. I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells, music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter and the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. And if you want to hear more from me and my stories of being a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. Thank you for listening, and join us next time when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One. Nice. So now that you've seen how the sausage gets made, Luke, are you...
He'll be starting his own podcast.
I honestly, I can't thank you enough for having me on here. Like, I've been wanting to, Colin is not exaggerating when I say I call him up, and after, you know, at least maybe every 10th episode, and like have it out with him for like 20 minutes about some gripe or grievance. So I'm so sorry that my dog, who normally is like just does nothing except like sleep at this time of the evening, just has come alive for absolutely no reason, it seems.
Well,
I can't
hear it through the Zoom.
Okay.
So I mean, we'll see how much it shows up in your actual.